This is CKLN 88.1 FM, licensed by the Canadian Radio, Television and Telecommunications Commission to broadcast in stereo at 88.1 MHz on the FM band. CKLN is owned and operated by CKLN Radio Incorporated, which is located at Ryerson University within the Student Campus Center in Toronto, Canada.
At the time of license application, CKLN filed a comprehensive promise of performance with the Commission, and within that document made specific commitments to its operations and programming. The license issued by the CRTC requires CKLN to honor these commitments made in the promise of performance and to comply with the FM radio broadcasting regulations.
A copy of the license with the promise of performance and conditions of licensing is available for inspection by any member of the public at the offices of the Commission and at the offices of CKLN during business hours. Radio frequencies are public property in Canada. CKLN invites your comments and inquiries.
Our mailing address is 55 Gould Street, Toronto, Ontario, postal code M5B1E9, phone number 416-979-5251.
Thank you for tuning in to CKLN 88.1 FM, and good morning.
People, you know, it's a rhythm where people are working, people moving.
Them belly full, but we hungry. A hungry mob, a hangry mob. A rain of fall, dirt to top. A pot to cook. Reggae music is a people music, you know. Reggae music is news. It's news about your own self, your own history. Things that you wouldn't really, them wouldn't teach you in a school. You understand? Because them wouldn't tell you that Rastafari is God, you know what I mean? And your Bible would tell you that within 2,000 years Christ shall return, and when I return, I'm going to be King of Kings, Lords of Lords, conqueror of the tribe of Judah. Through the lineage of King Solomon and King David. No, that is a reality, the whole truth, and the truth is that His Majesty is birthright for you. Amen. Name of Christ, and that is Haile Selassie, the first.
Want my boat to be rocking.
Hey,
Good morning, CKLN listeners. It is August 25th, 2010. I got a whole bunch of stuff I got to play, but I can't connect my MP3 player to the computer here. So I can't pull the files I wanted to pull. I can't play what I want to play. I don't know why, but I'm working on a solution right now, so you'll have to bear with me. This sucks, but I know I had an awesome show on Monday. Monday's show was awesome. And yesterday's show wasn't bad, and then Monday evening's interview with Dr. Henry Macko was also awesome. This is the type of thing where if you hear it, it could change your entire life. It could change your life forever. And I mean, make it better. Because the wrong piece of crap messes up your head. And the right piece of crap, well, hell, it's not a piece of crap. And so I start off the show today with "Dem belly full, but we hungry." Because I know that, like, every little action we take is either satisfying our soul or not. And it appears that our bellies are full, but we're still hungry. Like, we're still like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we still need more and more and more, and we still fall for the same tricks, the same marketing tricks. And you know, there's nothing wrong with having fun and all the usual. Like, I can't make people feel guilty, so I got to emasculate whatever the hell I'm saying. So, grown-ass men, don't start crying. But when you see grown-ass men start crying over nonsense, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, people be all tough and stuff, and then they play Rock Band all the time and don't realize they turn into an 8-year-old. And then they cry as soon as, you know, anything serious is brought up. You realize that they're not getting stronger from what they're doing. And so on today's show, I got a bunch of divide and conquer stuff I'm going to break down. I'm gonna try and figure out how we can satisfy ourselves. I'll say this much. I got a TikTok look on my face. I was freestyling on the way up here this morning, and I was coming up with some really wicked stuff and how they invented the word hater just to create, you know, stupid debaters. Man, hate used to be a big deal. Now it's like, oh, are you a hater? Oh, I'm a hater. It's ridiculous. But the point is that, and then I just bought my mango and carrot juice from the lovely lady at the Metro near here, and we had a great conversation because I'm kind of like angry and then I'm happy, as opposed to happy and then scared. So anyway, I'm going to let AJ break down a bit of his growth and development on these issues while I figure out how to figure out the rest of the show. Bear with me. This guy's good.
I read the executive order in the DPS driver's license facility. They then arrest me. I read it to the crowd there where it says blood and urine testing to get a driver's license. And now I have news articles in the last few months saying, oh, Arizona and other states are looking at urine and blood testing or DNA swabs to get a driver's license. Or anyone pulled over England's already started this, will have a swab from the inside of the cheek. It takes the cells off the side, some of the largest cells in the body, very easy to scrape off, to put in a DNA database. And they're already taking your baby's blood at birth for 38 years, secretly, now admitted. This is how criminal and how sneaky they are and how they get away with all of this garbage. Go read how they're grabbing your breast and genitals now and saying it's for your own safety to stop Al-Qaeda. All right, we're going to come back, get into a bunch of other key news straight ahead. Webster Tarpley's coming up and your phone calls.
Coming at you live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
We are back live. I'm going to continue rolling through the key news on a host of subjects. Then Webster Tarpley joins us. We'll have open phones while Webster's on with us. And, of course, with a full third hour, open phones. I'll go ahead and give that number out now. I may even get to some this hour. 1-800. And we including Facebook blogs. They want $300 a year. They're saying you have no right to free speech. You must pay the government for the privilege. They actually use the word privilege. They say free speech is a privilege. This is out of the Examiner. It's one of the top stories on Drudge Report, and it should be So we'll be going over all of that today. We've also got some new national polls showing Obama continuing to slip. And the question is, does Barack Obama want to be reelected in 2012? But I want to get to another issue first. Glenn Beck channels Alex Jones in New York Times best-selling book. And I got a copy of the book that was sent to me about a week ago. I've only had a chance to scan over it. I haven't finished it. But listeners have read it. Watson has read the reviews of it and has scanned over some of the sections that are online and confirmed that the main character is yours truly in the faction book, as Beck calls it, part fiction, part nonfiction. So we're going to be talking about that. And I'm the hero in the book. And so we'll discuss why is he doing something like that in just a moment. But before I do that, don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, this broadcast is listener supported. When you buy a high quality Patriot T-shirt, you not only get a walking billboard to get the word out and meet like-minded people, you fund our operation membership. Super turbocharge this to the next attack on it. We are about to them and their crimes. One cop today in 3-1 single year. Not the only 253-3139. 888-253-3139. You can also write to me at P.O. Box 1.
All right, folks. Out here in CKLN Radio Listener Land, as your host, BK, a.k.a. Black Krishna, a.k.a. Vijay Sharma. This is a clip I wanted to get to. This is AJ talking about.
Let's get into the next subject.
Here it is.
This is really, really important.
His awakening and our awakening and the way we deal with this.
I'm 36 years old. I learn more every single year than what I had learned in the previous decades. My understanding is accelerating and is expanding. You're not the only people who are learning. You're not the only people out there that are having epiphanies. I'm having them as well. We're all learning together and doing many hours of radio every day and radio interviews and reading documents and reading legislation and truly immersing myself in this information for 17 years, on air for 15. And before that, I was a big student of history because I found it to be entertaining. I mean, I liked Louis L'Amour novels when I was 12 years old because my dad was reading them and reading science fiction, and I'd pick them up and read them. But as soon as I found history, I was done with fiction because it was much more entertaining. And that's really how I got my education, my foundational understanding, because my parents read a lot of history as well, and those books were laying around the house. And we didn't have cable TV, because my parents weren't big TV heads. And so I learned to read and entertain myself with reading instead of watching television. And I still watched some TV growing up and went to movies and things. It's just that, well, I love going to my neighbor's house because they would have cable. I didn't have it, so I didn't watch a lot of television. If I did, I watched mainly PBS and documentaries about war and history and Shakespearean plays and things. So I got a good base, a good classical education from just studying history. Now, since then, interacting with the public, interacting with other media people, interacting with celebrities, I have gained a much greater understanding about human nature. You know, I've been married for 9 years. I've got 3 children. I've had all those experiences that other parents have had. I've had experiences now in business and taxes and how other people operate in business. And I've really learned how good humanity is, but also how bad humanity is. And I never really understood what good parents I had. I thought everybody had great, loving, strong, dedicated parents. I didn't realize how good my family was, how good my grandparents were on both sides. Real Christian families, you know, going back hundreds of years to the Mayflower and to Europe, I never realized how good I had it. And now I really feel sad for people who don't understand love, who don't understand honor, that don't understand strength, who don't understand decency. And it really makes me sad. And I realize that good people are blind to evil. I've never been perfect, and I've had my own dark side, but at least I could recognize it. A lot of people can't recognize it, and they're driven by envy and by jealousy and by hyper-competitiveness. And they're so unhappy, and they feel unfulfilled, and they're angry at others. They don't like seeing other people do well. They don't admire success that's been gained through hard work. They don't admire beauty. They don't admire power that's good and wholesome. And when you understand the globalist mindset, it's the ultimate expression of oppression. It's the ultimate expression of greediness and envy and control freakism. And now I understand a lot more. So many people I've tried to build up, so many people I've tried to lift up, so many people that I've seen that have been articulate and well-spoken and intelligent that I've tried to build up, I'd say over 80% of the time, end up stabbing me in the back, lying about us, doing horrible things. And it's because they realize just how effective and far-reaching we are. I have always been humble. And in the last decade, I've really underestimated our reach. I've really tried to lie to myself because I don't want fame and fortune. It's one of the few things that I'm actually afraid of. I understand the dangers of it historically. I'm a humble person, a private person. And I've been public. I've been involved against tyranny because I want freedom for my family and I want freedom for others and I want others to not be under bondage. When I see someone else being oppressed, when I see someone else being abused, I empathize with them. I feel their pain, to use a Bill Clinton line. At a primitive level, I understand what's happening to other innocents will then end up happening to my family, and I'm threatened by it. But I have to tell you that I have not really announced to the listenership of this radio broadcast our analysis and our breakdown, and it's such a weight, of just how big this radio show is, just how big our films are, just how effective and trailblazing and exponentially viral Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com are. It's indescribable. Everyone I talk to, family in other cities and other countries, people I've known over the years that work in television and in Hollywood, producers, directors, graphics people, you name it, they say now that not only are people talking about Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com, everyone I talk to in Hollywood, in government, in media, at Fox News, you name it, all tell me the same thing. All they're talking about is this show. Of course, all the other so-called patriots are pulling their hair out in anger and jealousy and disgust because all they hear about is Alex Jones. All they hear about is Infowars.com, and they think that it's a detriment to them. They think it's somehow holding them back from some type of celebrity that they want. They haven't gotten celebrity because they weren't pure of heart. I don't want it, so I got it. I wanted to fight tyranny. I wanted to affect change. I wanted to stop the CPS taking over a million innocent children, abusing them, and doing horrible things every year without due process. I want to stop people being brain damaged and killed from the next round of flu shots. I want to bring the Federal Reserve to justice. I want to stop these illegal wars. I got into this because they were trying to take our guns in Texas. I never intended to do what we've done together. We're all in great danger. We need to not let the COINTELPRO manipulators get us to infight with each other. We need to grow up and transcend this. And all the people that are so incredibly jealous of me and the work we do here, it's so pointless. Don't they understand that even if they're just in this for the wrong reasons, that we are, if you look at it from a business perspective, building the market? We are waking people up. We are creating the liberty movement, myself, my crew, and the listeners. That's our real power. Don't you understand that it's not a sum set game, that we need to wake people up to the paradigm of liberty versus tyranny, and this is about survival? and that you look at it from a business perspective, and that's not what it is. But even if you look at it from that perspective, we are building the entire market for you. Don't you understand that if I hadn't been here and done the things I've done and reached out to people, that you wouldn't have one-tenth of the viewers or listeners or readers that you have now? Most of these people admit that I woke them up or I inspired them. And they still attack me. And they do it, and it doesn't hurt us. It actually only makes us bigger. But it actually taints the overall transmission that the Liberty Movement's sending out to make it all about Alex Jones. That's destructive. This is serious. Even if I was the worst guy in the world, which isn't true, you should be spending your time warning people about the vaccines, about the fluoride, about the mercury, about the GMO, about the new wars that the system wants to push. We don't want the entire Liberty Movement to be about people defending Alex Jones or people attacking Alex Jones. At the end of the day, at a worldly level, it's good for me. Do you understand that? You know, what was the famous saying? I don't care what you say about me, just get my name spelled right. Well, yeah, if I was coming at this from a worldly perspective, I would be for what you're doing. But I'm not, because I want you to be more. I want to be more. I'm not perfect, but I want you to be pure of heart. I want you to be strong. I want you to be winners. I want you to be effective. I don't want you to get manipulated by Hal Turner and hundreds of other operatives. I want you to be leaders. I want you to be what you really were born to be. Not a loser. Not a pathetic, jealous, envious person. You know, it was pointed out to me last night that Mr. Bellamy of Muse, one of the top three bands in the world right now, everything they put out comes out triple platinum. And the globalists are trying to co-opt them right now. Mr. Bellamy's been on the show before. That on their main official site, they say website, websites that are the red pill, and the links on their official sites are Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com, and Propaganda Matrix, Paul Watson's mirror of Prison Planet. It's amazing. It's amazing. And I salute their music and their call to stand up against tyranny. It's powerful. I salute the Foo Fighters, who we know are patriots. I salute this indicator. I mean, it's the same thing. A week and a half ago, Jesse Ventura, who I was instrumental in waking up to a great extent, he came to town to visit with me as part of an investigation we're doing. And he said in the car with Aaron and I riding around going to a place we were investigating, he said, Alex, you know, I get a bigger response on your show than I get anywhere else, including Larry King Live. What does that say? It says we're effective. It says that we're bigger than when he goes on Good Morning America, Fox News, CNN. He gets a bigger response on the streets, wherever he is in the world, from this show. That tells you how important this broadcast is. And that tells you why the Southern Poverty Law Center put out three reports viciously attacking me last Friday. That tells you why the national news is attacking me and claiming I'm promoting cop killing when I'm doing the opposite. That tells you why they've got COINTELPRO at the grassroots attacking us. Because I'm the best thing going. And that is a humbling thing, because I'm human and aren't perfect. Far from it. That's why we're under attack. I'm now a Patriot Liberty institution. You understand that?
Waging war on corruption. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Again, I don't like to talk about myself. The real power is about educating more Americans and people worldwide about the nature of global governance and the eugenics cult that controls it. It is a life and death situation. They're coming out with vaccines that literally attack your brain and reprogram it to where you can't get angry, where you can't resist. They're now coming out with pharmacological crops where it's in the bananas, it's in the rice, it's in the potatoes, it's in the tomatoes, where you can't escape it. We are so far down the rat hole on this, and we've become a decadent, wicked society. So even when a lot of people wake up to the New World Order, they're still not going to, you know, fully wake up to how to fight it. And so the main focus needs to be waking more people up and organizing the local governments and the counties and the states to say no to the New World Order. But dealing with the huge awakening on every front, I mean, we put out special PrisonPlanet.tv videos every week that then get posted to YouTube, and on average they get about 500,000 views. We're getting over 1 million views on one YouTube channel a week, and it's growing. We have 8 YouTube channels. There are hundreds of others and hundreds of other websites carrying it and video sites. We are reaching millions of new people every single week on the web alone. We reach tens of millions a week through the radio show and through the interviews I do. And the message is strong, and it's scaring the establishment. Now, there's a sophisticated article that covers a lot of facets that Paul Watson and I wrote this morning. He called me, said, what do you want me to do about this? I said, yes, I was aware of it. I'd forgotten to talk about it. I confirmed, because I do have the book, I haven't read it all, that this is what it deals with. And early on in the book, a Patriot leader who has videos on YouTube and has an internet radio show gets a MIAC report from the police and exposes that the government is trying to destroy the country from within and staging terror attacks. Now remember, Beck attacks everybody that talks about government-sponsored terror, but he has the number one New York Times best-selling book, The Overton Window, where the hero of the book is Daniel Bailey, who is a internet video person who gets the MIAC report from Missouri. And he goes on to say, this is really nonfiction wrapped in a fiction. And he coins a term to deal with that. And my issue here is, I haven't talked about this because I don't want to reveal our sources. But I have two sources deep inside Fox News at the highest levels. And I have another source who talked about how Rick Perry privately at a meeting said, you don't need to go on his show. We're worried about him taking over the Republican Party, as if I'm going to take over the Republican Party. Well, they mean the ideas I'm putting out. And that's in Newsmax today. If true patriots can take over the Republican Party and the Democrats, there's no way the globalists can win. Real anti-incumbency is now happening. And that's my bottom line on Beck. What he's doing is, he's coming in as the counterfeit Alex Jones, and I have this from people in Fox News. He has 5 people who listen to the show every day, track everything we do. That's why when you hear us with a guest, you hear it there 2 weeks later, or a topic, but he puts his spin on it, and that's fine. But the problem is Beck has shown that he gets people's confidence and then dashes it. There are no FEMA camps. There's no government-sponsored terror. You know, the MIAC report's not that bad. But then he writes a book about government-sponsored terror in which I get killed stopping the government from detonating a hydrogen bomb in Los Angeles. There's a private global corporation, Bilderberg Group, manipulating things in the book. I'm going to finish up with this in the next segment. Then we're going to go to Webster Griffin Tarpley. But the point is, well, the article breaks it down. I'll try to read much of the article when we come back after the 70-second break. It's just that we are having a huge cultural effect, you and I together, and it's so precious, and the system is attacking at every level, trying to co-opt, trying to destroy me, because we're really having an effect. We'll be right back.
When I was little, my father was famous. He was the greatest samurai in the empire, and he was the shogun's decapitator. He cut off the heads of 131 lords. It was a bad time for the empire. The shogun just stayed inside his castle, and he never came out. People said his brain was infected by devils. My father would come home, he'd forget about the killings. He wasn't scared of the shogun, but the shogun was scared of him. Maybe that was the problem. Then, one night, the shogun sent his ninja spies to our house. were supposed to kill my father, but they didn't. That was the night everything changed.
And we're back, folks. Now, there's a bunch of kids out there wondering if the Shogun has indeed killed their father. And how did they do that? Well, you know, AJ was talking about them co-opting the resistance to this. And they're going to give us fake stuff and fake rebellions and fake charities and fake stories and fake arguments and all this craziness out there. And you can see it. You can see it going on, you know, right now. And I'm looking at the I got some local paperage with me. I got some last week's iWeekly from Thursday. It's got a cover here. It's got a picture of the old Toronto Blue Jays logo with a tear dropping. And it says, "Will the Jays ever do what it takes to win again?" Now, when you know what we got going on in this country, or when you have some sort of vague idea what's going on in the world, you got to figure, what the hell is this? You know, what are we crying over the Blue Jays for? I mean, you know, would I like them to win and all that, you know? Soviet Kanakistan, Communist Canada, I got to apologize because there might be some Jays fans out there and there is no such thing as right or wrong and everybody should do what they want. Well, you know what? Screw you. It says here, "Show me the money. The Toronto Blue Jays were once baseball's biggest spenders, with one of Canada's largest companies at the helm. Why don't they spend like a big market team?" Again, the cover story of I Magazine, supposedly semi-conscious, I suppose, independent weekly, that's, I think, partly owned by the Toronto Star, that happened a few years ago, or is now still supposedly independent, but they ain't no better. And Rob Duffy says, "If you grew up in Toronto in the late 80s and early 90s, you might have been forgiven for thinking that baseball glory was the city's birthright. Because during that time, the Toronto Blue Jays enjoyed a sustained run as one of marquee franchises in Major League Baseball. If division titles in 85, 89, and 91 suggested that Toronto was morphing into a major hub in the baseball universe, their back-to-back world championships in 1992 and 1993, capped by Joe Carter's iconic walk-off home run, confirmed it. As he sits in the dugout watching the 2010 Jays, who currently sit in fourth place in the mega-competitive American League East, taking batting practice, longtime manager Cito Gaston reflects on the team's glory days. Quote, there's nothing like winning, he says. The more you win, the more you want to be a part of it. In years past, when I was here, we had guys who heard about how great the organization was, how great it was run. The city of Toronto is a great place to play in." And it's true. Mr. Gaston, Monsieur Gaston, is absolutely correct in saying the city of Toronto is a great place to play in. But if that play is producing a weakness of character in other areas, we gotta wonder why. You know, we got a massive sex trade going on here. We're supposedly the home of lonely single people. I know in hip hop circles, been known for years as the screw face capital of the world, and all the hip hop guys are all mad that they can't get a record deal or they can't get their ish played. But everybody else comes here from other cities and goes, this place is amazing, this place is awesome, you guys have so much cool stuff, and people are so nice, and girls are so beautiful, and oh my goodness, I love Toronto. And people shout out Toronto randomly, you know, just all over the place. And I gotta tell you, there's enough here to work with in terms of being happy. It's just, we have to understand that a lot of the happiness we're being sold, a lot of the culture we're being sold, is to turn us into children and to brainwash us into feeling impotent and useless and scared, because children are scared. And if adults are scared to talk about serious issues, then you know adults are scared. And you know adults have been turned into children. And, you know, I know when I go places, it's just, hey, the weather, you know, the weather, hey, it's the weather. And that sort of thing. That's what we talk about. As if it isn't obvious to everybody. It's, the weather's not one of those things like, hey, you see us on TV last night? And not especially the weather like that's going on right now. But we're supposed to say, It's hot. It's really hot. Or, it's nice today. It's too cold. It's nice. It was cold yesterday. It's nice today. You know, this is severe social engineering. This is mind control. This is brainwashing. This is dangerous. can't just accept this. Cause all the prices are going up. And we got, you know, kids victimized by giant satanic pedophile rings. And look at the sex trade in the back of the Eye of the Now magazine. I flipped to the back of the Eye magazine for a sec. And we'll take a look at who's being sold. And through this process, how we're selling out by just sort of accepting it. It says here, adults only on page, whatever this page is, 45 of the I magazine. It says, get him on the line, free trial. And that's a gay thing. Another one, your best pickup line. Another one, fantasynight.ca, fantasy nights. $100 anytime, anywhere. Beautiful ladies guaranteed. Out calls only. $160. Naughty Orientals. Danforth and Woodbine between $40 and $60. New face, skillful BBBJ. Whatever that is. I got to Google that if it doesn't give my computer a virus. Queen and Dufferin. Hey, that's just near where I live. It says $40. BBBJ, JFE, Open Mind. 19 Korean TV actress, long black hair, and so what? If there's so many beautiful women here, and we have such a nice, friendly city, and we're all open and nice to each other, and we're cool, why do we got to do this? What's going on here? How come the hotels everywhere is booked? You know what's up with that? Why are hotels full? Why are hotels doing so well? It's because are we taking all these girls to hotels? Toronto, along with Las Vegas, are seen as the two. Porn, child porn, escort capitals of North America. Two of them anyway. Obviously, Los Angeles, New York. There's going to be some scrabbers for that title. But superior Russian models, Babe Lord, luxury condo, VIP service, Dina, Dasha, and Masha. And other Russian royalty here. Now, there's a system that sets it up to make it difficult for, especially now, for us to get jobs and for immigrants to get jobs and so on and so forth. And it goes on and on for page after page after page of this. Out in Scarborough, up in North York. And so there's a lot of girls that come here and they realize that, you know, they don't want to work at a crappy job and they can't afford all the shiny stuff on TV they want to buy. So they kind of get into this. But then if you go to thepinkcross.org, thepinkcross.org, and see the work of Ms. Shelley Lubin and many of her compadres, then you can see that the life of, you know, porn, prostitution, and so on is not one that many people who've left it recommend. Now, we can convince ourselves to like anything. You know, there's no doubt. And there's no doubt that some women like sex. But they usually like it with, you know, someone they love or at least care about or at least know. and yet when you see this, when you see the prices for some of these girls, some of these girls are beautiful. Just like the girls, some of the girls in porn are beautiful, and some of the girls in so on and so forth are beautiful. You know, you look and you think $40? $60? I might spend that on lunch at Milestones, you know, back in my yuppie days. And I'm telling you, that's the thing, is that this gets cheaper and cheaper and cheaper, and this is part of a plan by ye old New World Order, the forces behind globalization, evil satanic central banking mafia messing with all of us. And they want this to continue, and there's been articles in MSNBC recently talking about how porn is a recession-proof industry. Now, I've been focused for this little rant right now so far on the girls. But let's flip it up for a sec. There's a bunch of guys out there that are obviously taking advantage of these services. What do you think that's doing to them and their confidence? You know, my cousin told me years ago, my cousin went to university in Arizona, and he told me years ago, when I was a teenager, I was 14, 15 or whatever, I don't know why he told me, and he said that his roommate hadn't gotten laid before. And they were in college, and it was early in college, And he was like all pissed off that he hadn't been laid yet. So he went out and got himself a prostitute. And then he felt afterwards, he felt suicidal. He felt horrible. He felt cheap. He felt whatever. And you gotta be real scum not to feel nothing about this. You know, like the satanic pedophile cults at the top. DavidIke.com is a great article from March where he breaks down the history of all this and what they're into and how they're even into raping disabled Down syndrome victims. Because that's where it goes. You know, once you get into that type of, you know, power experience over people, once you get into that type of sexual deviancy. But anyway, so my man in my cousin Arizona, he's telling me the guy felt suicidal, guy felt horrible. Guy didn't feel he was worth a regular girl after that in many ways. And so this becomes a perpetuating cycle. Now, to the best of my recollection, I think he might have got out of that, you know, after a while, but it was quite a period of feeling pretty damn crappy about everything. And yet that's being engineered by our culture out there. And I'm on the message boards. I'm on the message boards. I'm looking at a couple of hip hop websites and trying to figure out how people think, how people talk today. And I'm noticing, you know, a whole bunch of craziness going on. You know, there's a couple of good things. Well, start off with the bad, end with the good, you know, that sort of thing. So the bad thing is that all the ladies out there that are taking pictures of themselves and putting them up and then having them found by guys that are, like, putting them up online on their own websites and stuff, they're making fun of you. they're making fun of you. I mean, yeah, you look good, but it's a desperate move to sell it like that. And you might think you're being glamorous. You might think you're being like, well, the TV ain't taking no picture of me, so I take a picture of me and I put it up there and whatever. But it's being found and you're being judged and you're being objectified into just that, especially all the sexy stuff, you know? And one of the Kardashian sisters, 14-year-old sister, just got a bikini photo shoot in a little teeny eensy beensy bikini. And she's beautiful. She's a beautiful 14-year-old young lady. And she could prance around in a bikini somewhere on a beach. But for her to be elevated and celebrated in a magazine at that age, wearing that, just shows you where this all goes. Now, what are they trying to sell by selling us this? Well, if they make us weak like this, you know, if they get us to pay for sex, then we won't feel our own sexual power. Now, I know I've had women that be crazy about me, and I think they just crazy, but, you know, hey. But hey, you know, I was crazy about them, so it's all good. And that is a better feeling. That is a better feeling, you know, to have somebody who wants to do, you know, get real freaky with you. And if you pay for it, then you lose your confidence in your ability to get a girl freaky with you. And that's part and parcel of this. Is that's part of the plan, it's part of the program. That's how they dehumanize people above our level in this game. And so they're doing this to us, and the next stage is our intergenerational sex or pedophilia. That's why they're selling so much in the culture. They even have the mini skinny jeans at the Gap right now, where you can buy your baby skinny jeans. And there's an article out there that says, is it cool for babies to wear skinny jeans? And thanks to our liberal socialization in many ways, a lot of us will say, you know, people lie on purpose. You know, people will lie on purpose. People say, I didn't see that. You know, because if I did see that, then it makes me someone who saw something that I shouldn't be the kind of person to see. So then I'm a not nice person. And then so I didn't see that, you know. And so my man teaching at school, he there's a bunch of 12-year-olds doing like little porno dancing moves in thin little white tops, and they're starting to develop breasts because girls are hitting puberty at 7 to 8 right now. Canadians are full of bisphenol A, 90% of Canadians, according to a CBC article recently, and so we're all getting feminized and hyperfeminized, guys and girls, and he's trying to stop this kind of semi-child pornographic performance going on at school. And the female principal's like, oh, they look so cute. And she'd been raised on Booty Camp Fitness and in all these magazines and everything. And teachers, a lot of teachers' jobs suck. So because they're dictated to by the state, and they aren't allowed to have their own opinions on things. And so they often tend to escape like crazy with the time they have to escape. You know, because they aren't putting themselves in enough of what they do for, you know, 8 hours a day. And they aren't sure they're necessarily giving the kids the best, so they got to react to that by getting colder, and then by playing, you know, getting colder work and colder in certain settings, and then playing as much as possible, and then bragging about playing. Because we taught to brag about playing too. Did you see this yet? Did you do that yet? And all that sort of thing. And it's all part and parcel of the socially engineered craziness. Now, it says here, riders, lend them your ears. As the train rattled and clanged along the track, passengers lobbied silently in their seats, zoning out to the world around them. At first, when Anna Rice, 19, began fidgeting and dancing by the door, no one paid her much attention. But as the subway pulled away from Castle Frank Station, she called out, leapt into the aisle, and all eyes were on her. I left no ring with her. What means this lady? She sang loudly as Viola, Act 2, Scene 2 in Twelfth Night. One man screamed with fright. Another one pulled a toddler into her lap. Fortune forbid my outsides have not charmed her, Rice continued loudly as gobsmacked passengers watched with open mouths. Her parents didn't give her any attention, remarked Tom Lynch, 65. They call themselves the Spur of the Moment Shakespeare Collective, and once a week for the past few months, this group of nine young acting grad students is performing guerrilla Shakespeare on the blurred Danforth line with material from Romeo and Juliet, Macbeth, King Lear, and A Midsummer Night's Dream, among others. The group acts out monologues, scenes, and soundscapes where everyone is involved. Quote, we all know Shakespeare, read it in high school, but Shakespeare really needs to be heard, to be understood and appreciated. We're making it accessible, said director and collective co-founder Victoria Urquhart. And so this is on the cover of the Metro, along with Adrian Grenier from Entourage and David Hasselhoff in the top right-hand corner of this. So you can see the kids, the 19-year-old kids, being told to dance or play or act out a play or whatever, you know, they all being elevated to this status, and they put on the cover for doing these silly things. Not you know, it used to be the kids, you know, they started a food bank, started to do this or that. Now it's all about being a star. We're all fantasized to try and be a star and to imagine one day we'll make it, or to vicariously appreciate somebody else who's become a star in the same vein. And you can go to Sears right now, or the Bay or Sears, whatever. Go one of them places. You see, the whole thing is about be a star, the back to school campaign, be a star. And you look at some of the stuff on the kids' clothing, and there's all this Illuminati symbolism going on at the you know, at the on kids' clothes, and all the skulls are coming back for the little kids. So a little kid used to teach him what a skull was, and the skull was like, don't drink that, it's poisonous. And the kid would be like, all right, that skull, I kind of recognize it's bad, it's poisonous. But at the same time, yeah, that's what's going on. Hold on a second, I got a call coming. I'm going to figure out what this caller wants. Good morning, caller. What's going on?
Hey there. Are we on the air? This is Mr. Black. This is Mr. Ron calling.
Yeah, we are on the air.
Ooh. I need to talk to you about private affairs.
Well, I just saw Mr. Clifton, so he's here.
Oh, well, that's the news that I needed, and will you please tell him he's a star?
All right. Well, thank you for your voice, sir.
Bon merci.
As Monsignor Gaskin, just let me know that Monsignor Clifton, I will be taking you on a jazz experience in about 10 minutes or so. But back to this rant. Why would the Metro put this on the cover? And more importantly, screw the Metro. Because I know how this works. It's crazy. We live in a crazy world. I was talking to my man about the mayoral candidates, and I was saying, what have they done, or what have they said so far? Ford, Smitherman, Rossi. What have any of them done or said? And he couldn't tell me. You know, they've been campaigning for like, you know, 6 months, 8 months. You know, like I have in my own way. Hoping all this stuff pays off. But the point is that what have they actually done? And what have they said? And then man was saying about Smitherman, oh, he was doing this, the Ministry of Health, you know, he's accomplished. And I'm like, what did he do? You know? Because I don't know anything, you don't know anything, we're working off the same evidence. You're assuming you did something good. I'm not. I'm not. First of all, I know about Gardasil. He helped approve that in Ontario and promote that in Ontario. and that's bad. So I know something bad he did. And among other things, but the point is, it's not about me and you, and it's what are we being given? You know, can we sort of empathize and understand, you know, with respect to what we're being given? You know, can we see the media and the culture as what are we being given?
Choose the ball, and you join your mother in death.
Now I'm gonna take you to a clip of Webster Tarpley on the Alex Jones Show, talking about divide and conquer over the 9/11 Muslim mosque and how they get us fighting on these issues, these issues that most of us don't care about.
Tattle on mommy if she isn't using the right light bulbs. Tell mommy not.
Because this is important. We are being given things to talk about that divide us 60-40, 70-30. You'll hear Webster say this in a second. When there are issues that 90-95% of us, 99% of us could agree on and make an issue of. And so it isn't something where there's a left or right and you sort of generally slant one way or the other because it fits into, you know, a larger social paradigm of, you know, more government involvement. We need that. We pay taxes, or less government involvement. We should be independent, do things for ourselves.
Well, the only way we can win this is by unity. We have to come together. When we had those...
this is really deplorable what this guy does.
Positive light throughout. Wait a minute. Okay.
Confused. Got Anthony Watson's article about Top Globe and Yahoo to the mosque.
All right. So this is about the Muslim, the mosque in New York, near the site of the 9/11 attacks.
Where he's working, and they see him and start chasing him around. I mean, this is incredible what they're doing, Webster. I want to get into Iran, but clearly this builds up towards that hysteria. We've got this key article by Steve Watson that I covered some Friday and Sunday. In fact, guys, reprint that for me. I know it's in the stack, but headline, Ground Zero Mosque Imam, Globalist Stooge, and it details how he's a top globalist. I mean, Webster, we can really see what's happening here.
But even more directly, this is a Imam Faisal Rauf. And it turns out that he's from the FBI. He works for the FBI. He's a trainer for the FBI. He's an advisor for the FBI. He has worked for Bush the Younger in that administration. He's a current employee of the State Department. Now, this is what we would call, in very poor terms, a government agent. And he's out there as an FBI provocateur doing his job, which is to provoke. And now, instead of having... We could have about 95% of this population marching against Wall Street and saying, down with the banks, claw back the bailouts, you know, stop, you know, lower the credit card rates, no more payday loans. You could get about 95% of the American people for that. Instead, we've got these, you know, 60-40, 70-30 things. We've got the New York mosque. We've got the Arizona illegal alien situation. And, of course, gay marriage in California coming right on the heels of the Shirley Sherrod doctored tape. So what does this mean? That no serious economic issue, none of the life or death economic questions of jobs, employment, wages, the things that people really live or die by, that is all swept aside. So we're having a summer of total programmed insanity, right, of MK Ultra running wild, if you will, through all the mass media. And I urge people, when you see a dog and pony show like this, have the brains not to choose sides. When you see the Yankees playing the other team, right, in the World Series, it's hard not to get sucked in, right? You want to choose sides and become a fan for one side. In this case, don't do it, because this is simply a way to prepare these elections. I think it shows that the ruling elite is in the process of switching their bets from the sinking ship of Obama to some demagogic reactionary Republican. Maybe it's Mitt Romney, but I think much more likely General Petraeus waiting in the wings as the new version of whatever oppression is coming down.
And notice we now have the ADL saying no to the mosque. I mean, this is like right out of Nazi Germany what they're doing.
Yeah, the thing with the mosque is obviously if you want to make a gesture of reconciliation, that's a wonderful thing. But unfortunately, this is not turning out to be a gesture of reconciliation. So I would think that it's time really to de-emphasize this. Plus, everybody's arguing about something that, strictly speaking, doesn't exist. In other words, there is no mosque. There really is even one more building has to be bought.
Well, it's a First Amendment issue, and it's a property right issue. And the fact that this guy's hooked in with the FBI, State Department, Trilateral Commission, CFR, and being funded by the owner of Fox News, I mean, that's incredible.
Yeah, but again, it doesn't exist. They don't have the money to do this. They have to buy another piece of property. Then they'd have to build it. This thing is years and years in the future, if at all.
It's a perfect psychological distraction to create the primitive, animal brainstem threat that, oh my gosh, the foreigners that did 9/11, they've now come to plant their flag at ground zero. It's a propaganda image, like Iwo Jima with the troops raising the flag. It's that snapshot image.
Something like that.
And that's right. And you can see that happening here with the Tamil question, where they say, well, do you think we should pay for these Tamils or not? Do you think we should send people home or not? You know, and so they get people who aren't even from Canada. I'm talking about the evil Canadians who run Canada. They get people who aren't even from Canada and make them an enemy for us to talk about. And that's what we're supposed to talk about. You know, and we're supposed to talk about, you know, how they're making things sucky around here. You know, like us paying for them is the problem, you know, and not, that's a bigger issue in terms of that. But it fits into a bigger issue. They make it a smaller issue, you know. Then you look at how you're doing and that's what you think. You think, oh, okay, I'm doing bad because of the damn Tamils, the damn Tamil refugees coming over on boats. And that's why I'm doing bad. You know, that's what they'll make us think. That's what they're trying to make us think anyway. I mean, you can see that. So that's why I couldn't connect my MP3 player today. So I pulled this show from the internets and started off with Them Belly Full But They Hungry and Satisfy My Soul by Bob Marley. Listening to some instrumentals from The Genius right now from the Liquid Swords album, taking it way back. Here's a couple of things. One is that artists, music, you know, artists, you know, they sometimes they say things really well, and they say things better. And I say things really well. And even here on the show, you know, I'm kind of trying to tap into a very, very loose, free, kind of freestyle way of breaking down the game. You know, that where I actually get excited about the way I come up with something, as opposed to just sort of reading, you know, reading something kind of like rote, you know. And I got to tell you that sometimes the way an artist says something, it can really stick at home for you. You know, you can go, oh, okay, like, you know, I get it. Like this guy said it so well that, you know, I could feel it. So if I say they will not control us, they will not force us, they will not degrade us, you know, it's not bad. But if Matt Bellamy from You says it, you know, in an anthemic anthem, Uprising, off the Resistance album from last year, where he basically is talking about the same thing, exact same thing, he's referencing the same websites, InfoWars, Prison Planet, and so on, then it might bang it home a bit more for you. And the other thing is about power. You know, how do you get more power? Well, you get more power by showing how much power you have to empower others. You know, if you understand your power in a situation and you use it to disempower somebody, you're making yourself more paranoid. You know, you're making yourself more paranoid about the world, about the people you're with, about this coming back on you, and more scared. But if you decide to use your power to empower someone in a positive way, then you feel safer, you feel more secure, and you feel more powerful, and that person actually gives you power, you know? I mean, classic, I'm talking about this because, hey, it's my life, I'm on my way here, and I'm near Dufferin and Spadina, or I'm walking towards Spadina, I'm on Dundas, and there's she looks like a cute young Asian girl from what I could see in late at night, and there's a fence there, and a damn 6-foot fence had too many fences. Fence is too high, helicopter's too low. We gotta take care of all that crap too. You know, like, just we gotta beef about these things. But I give her some space, because again, I'm a threat. She knows that. Or she, yeah, I can sense this. I'm pretty conscious of what's going on around me. And so I can sense that. And this came from before, from even scaring people. Because I got like a hard look on my face, or I'm listening to some stuff, or I'm thinking of some stuff, or I'm rapping some stuff. And people just be freaked out. And you'd be like, oh, okay. So you notice that. And even when I'm real chilled out, you know, you train your brain to notice that. So you notice what's going on around you, you know. Because if you do, then there's a much better chance of you, you know, connecting with it in ways that can help you. Now, the Metro's also got $99 pass, a cheaper way for students. City has about 300,000 post-secondary students eligible for new pass. They printed about 150,000, more than they expect to sell. A little bit of candy here from the TDC. TDC Chair Adam Giambroni being brought back into our minds as elections fever is going to heat up a bit. But keep in mind, though, that about 50-60% of us vote in federal elections, and about 10% of us vote in municipal elections. And they are the exact opposite in terms of importance. The feds are controlled by globalists, international agreements, and our MPs are pretty much useless. They toe the party line thanks to the party whips. But at the local level, you know, we can certainly bug city councilors for stuff in our city. And anybody can do this anywhere. And this is a universal principle. This is also going on in the States and everywhere else, where if you get your local officials on your side, then you get your local cops on your side, and you got some local protection. And if the feds try and muck around, you got some local connections. And it's not somebody who's got to be a backbencher. Because these city councilors and school board trustees and all these different people, they don't work for political parties. They may ally themselves, you know, socio-politically in the way they think, but they don't work for political parties. TDC Observer plans for museums, so the TDC is getting back. Ontario tackles pension guarantee fund in system overhaul. Uh-oh. Overhaul. You know what overhaul means? It means they're throwing us under a bus. Girl 12 sings some songs for a good cause. Again, child stars. Everybody wants to be a star. And yet a 92-year-old woman is about to take control of the British charts with her music. So they are getting all of us with this, including the boomer generation, encouraged to take pictures of their cats and send them in. You know, as an article here on page 18, again, camera catches cruelty to cat, you know, here on the Metro. And so, yeah, we're being told to value fame, fortune, and animals more than we are ourselves. And yet, Now Magazine's article, Nature's Genius and a New Breed of Designers Inventors Know It, the green issue biomimicry. It's been in business for 3.8 billion years. There may be a few things we could learn. And from Janine Benyus, biological pollution is going to make chemical pollution look like a walk in the park. We are young species, mere toddlers with matches with this stuff. So that's what they're doing. They're confusing us with this cocktail. They're giving us the bad news, and they're telling us, you know, they're telling us not to deal with it in any sort of rational way. So, here, you know, here's a couple of great places to go to check out a couple of mixtapes. I'm just downloading a song now. I got to do things on the fly here before Mr. Clifton takes you on 4 hours of a jazz experience you will not forget. To feel your power in this culture, you can't play the game poorer than you're supposed to. Because that's the plan. The plan is to make us, you know, sort of go, well, I can't be a star, but I can take dirty pictures of myself and post them online. and that'll be as close as I get. And so on and so forth. So, how do you feel your power? Well, best way to feel your power is by empowering somebody else with something that can help them. And frankly, that isn't just recycling the mass media. That's checking out great websites like these and passing on a bit of info to help them make sense of the world. Infowars.com. naturalnews.com, cuttingthroughthematrix.com, thepinkcross.org, henrymacko.com, and locally, pressfortruth.ca, doing an interview tonight for a new film on the G20 with Dan Dix, Brian Law, and Steve Davies, or two of those three, and so hopefully that goes well. And then Conspiracy Culture, book and DVD store, Queen and Roncesvalles. Go there, cop a book or DVD, cop a t-shirt, wear a t-shirt. Flex in this area. You know, we're all fans of people, but if we're just fans of people who talk about the people trying to kill us, we won't stop the people trying to kill us in this giant eugenics experiment, and we will be disempowered in the process of them doing so. The Toronto Street News, break it out there. And don't be afraid to go someplace, you know, negative and then positive with this. Because we often end off negative. We often end off with like, oh no, it's you know, it's bad and we better stop talking about it. Get angry or laugh at it. Get confident. Get pissed off. Because a lot of that is your source of energy. Getting mad for a good reason, never been a bad idea, folks. Let's not forget that. Have a great day, everybody. Peace out.
I tell like creativity, purity and honesty is honestly being crowded by these grown thoughts. Reality is catching up with me, taking my inner child, I'm fighting for custody. But these responsibilities that they entrusted me, as I look down at my diamond encrusted piece, thinking no one man to have all that power. The clock's ticking, I just count the hours. Stop tripping, I'm tripping off the power. Till then, pump that, the world's ours. Poets, powers, Austin Powers, lost in translation with a whole fucking nation. They say I was the Obama nation of Obama's nation. Well, that's a pretty bad way to start the conversation. At the end of the day, God damn it, I'm killing this. Y'all know damn well y'all feeling this. I don't need jokes, I'm on my own. I ain't got a power trip, who you going home with? How they doing? I'm surviving. I was drinking earlier, now I'm driving. Where the bed, huh? Where y'all had in? I got the power, make your life so exciting.
CKLN is now liberating your digital cable. Rogers Digital Cable subscribers can now find